So then today is the Feast of Easter. I wish all of you a happy and a holy Easter and Eastertide. In the epistle for the Easter Sunday Mass, take from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Gospel, taking that according to St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So we arrive now at the greatest day of the year, the day of Easter, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ conquers death, and the day that is the day that gives us hope. Without our Lord Jesus Christ conquering of death, without his rising from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, there is not any hope for us. And there is such rejoicing on this first third day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead that it spreads down until the end of the world, so that we don't go more than 7 days without commemorating it. But it was a spontaneous thing that the early Christians immediately commemorated every single first day of the week as the day of the resurrection of our Lord, the day of the victory, the day in which our church begins to be born. And so we've celebrated every single seventh day from the time Jesus Christ rose from the dead 2,000 years ago until the end of the world. Then a consideration on the morning of this Easter Sunday of two disciples considered last night, St. Mary Magdalene, and how she was foolish. She worried when she shouldn't worry. She carried myrrh and aloes when she shouldn't carry them. She was concerned about a small stone when she shouldn't be concerned about a small stone. When death itself had been conquered, she was worried about a little rock. And then she wandered aimlessly throughout a garden, and Jesus Christ found her, making her the first one that would see him after he rose from the dead. And he would speak his very first word after the resurrection to her, and that word was simply her name, Mary. Spent with such infinite love that she recognized immediately by the sound of love in his voice that it was him. And here we make a note that for ladies that want to go to heaven, learn not what. Sometimes girls focus too much on the what. You said this and you said that. You speak this way and you speak that way. This happened and that happened. But rather look beneath the surface. Look beneath the surface of words and hear the love that is in the voice. And Mary Magdalene sat at the feet of our Lord. He was speaking to all the apostles, and they were hearing what he was saying. She was hearing him. She didn't care what he was saying. All that mattered is that he was speaking, and that whatever he speaks is truth, and that she will adore him, and she will meditate upon whatever he says, because he says it. She gets behind the words and gets into the essence. And this is something ladies must learn how to do. Very important in the development of motherhood, of a proper motherhood, to get behind the words and get into the essence. And so Mary Magdalene hears that first word, and Christ says, "Mary." And she goes to embrace his feet, Rabboni. But on that same day, Mary Magdalene and the other women who were very depressed, who didn't have any hope, they went to visit the tomb. Because, being ladies, whenever a lady is upset about something, they always visit what they are upset about. They always contemplate it and think about it. But the two disciples, Cleopas being one of them, they reacted in sorrow in a different way. For them, it was leaving Jerusalem that was important. This was the place that put Jesus Christ to death. This was supposed to be the city of peace, and it was a city that destroyed the Messiah. This city must be left behind forever, and they will never turn back. They'll never go back to this city ever again. Now we learn in the gospel that they are on their way to Emmaus. Emmaus is completely unimportant. It just happens to be the direction that they were going in. What matters is that these two men of a heavy heart were leaving Jerusalem forever, never to think about it, never to visit it ever again, because it caused too much pain. As they are walking slowly outside of the city, they meet a stranger. The stranger says to them, Why are you sad? What has happened? And they looked at the stranger and they said to him, What do you mean, what has happened? Where have you been? Don't you know that 8 days ago, the Christ came into the city of Jerusalem and they did not know how he was going to be received. Some thought he was going to be put to death. But instead, they threw palms before his feet and they received him with great joy. And everything seemed fine. And then, only a few days later, one of his own apostles, one of the original 12, betrayed him. He was handed over to the Jews, crucified, died, and was buried. And this is already now the third day since these horrible things have happened. Mary Magdalene is foolish. She thinks myrrhs and aloes and the contemplation of death are going to help. These two men are foolish. They think leaving Jerusalem is the right thing to do. And our Lord could be angry with all of them, but he is not. And what does he do? He begins to speak with them. And the stranger speaks with them throughout the entirety of the day. What did he say a few weeks ago, this Christ? He said, If I be lifted up upon a cross, I will draw all things to myself. You did not say that he would be buried like Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and then he would rise. You did not say that it would be necessary for himself to die, or else he would remain himself alone. Yes, I guess he said these things. And what about the Old Testament? And the stranger opened up their eyes to the Old Testament. And he says, Do you not see the passage? The passage of, I am a worm and not a man, the scorn of men. And we sometimes mention this passage. And in the Hebrew, in this book, passage from Isaiah, the words spoken by the Messiah, I am a worm and not a man, the scorn of men. The Messiah, a worm. In the Hebrew language, the word that is used is, I am a scarlet worm, which is a particular kind of worm. And a few years ago, a scientist decided to go to the Holy Land to find out if there really was such a scarlet worm, and if the scarlet worm existed, what was its life like? So he went to the Holy Land and discovered that there was such a worm called the scarlet worm. And the scarlet worm is a millipede, as many feet. And the mother scarlet worm must lay her eggs on the side of a certain kind of tree. Can't remember what kind of tree that it is. And she climbs up onto the side of this tree, and she does three things simultaneously. She takes her legs, and she drives them into the tree, and she bleeds to death. And as she is bleeding to death, using all of her energy, pushing her legs into the tree, firmly implanting herself onto the side of the tree, and as she dies, she lays her eggs. Her soft skin of a worm turns as hard as a rock. And the birds flying around, seeing a worm on the side of the tree, want to eat it. And so they come down, and they land on the side of the tree, and they peck at the shell of the scarlet worm, but they cannot penetrate. Some will try to pry the worm off the tree, but they can't do it in order to get to the babes within. The eggs grow. Her body rots and falls out. The eggs take its place. Then each of the eggs hatches, and they go out through the hole in the bottom of her down to the ground and live their lives. And the average scarlet worm will stay on a tree for 40 years before it falls off. And when it falls off, there is a scarlet mark of blood where she implanted herself into the tree. So it says in the book of Isaiah, I am a scarlet worm and not a man. that this mystery of my cross, it is the mystery of life. For without this death, there can be no life. There can be no children. As we said in the last consideration of the mission, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That if we consider the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is one journey. The journey from God to God. The journey from the Father to the Father. And on his way, he reaches out his arms and he sweeps up mankind. And the place that he sweeps us up is at the cross. And then he picks us up at the resurrection. He will carry us at the ascension up into heaven. And so the stranger continues to explain these things to the two disciples. Finally, it is towards the evening. And the sun is nearing its setting. And they go to stay at a house nearby. The stranger walks on. And they constrain him and say, "Do not walk on, but stay with us." And because they forced him to stay with them, they go into the house. And it says in the gospel, and they recognized him at the breaking of the bread. Here we note a few things concerning the spiritual life. One of them is, Mary Magdalene heard one word of Christ and recognized him immediately. These two men talked to him all day and had no idea who he was. And one of these principles is that when it comes to understanding things, men are generally slower on the uptake. In this case, a lot slower. But that the fact is that our Lord wants it to be this way because he wants them to have a different kind of understanding. We think differently, we understand differently. And when these two understandings come together, then we have a complete world. So he wants them to understand the scriptures. He wants them to understand the life of prayer. He wants them to spend time. We'll learn things immediately, and they have no patience. And Christ wants to teach a man of patience. You must study throughout the whole day. And then the proof that you have studied well is that you begin to live the life of charity. You constrain someone who is a stranger to stay at your house to eat bread, and then there is a recognition of Christ. And so they recognize Christ in the breaking of the bread. They're going to put in charity into practice. And then they speak to each other, Cleophas and the other disciple. Our Lord disappears from their midst. And they say, "Did you not feel the fire? Didn't you feel the fire growing in our breasts throughout the day? We were building up energy." And they were so excited they had seen Christ that they ran with haste back to Jerusalem, the place where they were never going to go. And there they saw the other apostles and the disciples and the holy women, and they said, "We have seen Christ." And they said, "We have seen him also." In the next verse of the gospel, there is a brief history of the Catholic Church. And all it says is, "And they spent the night speaking of the wonderful works of God." They spent the night thinking of the wonderful works of God. Consider the fact that on Thursday night, they did not sleep. Friday night, they did not sleep through their pain. Saturday night, they did not sleep. And now it is Sunday night, and they cannot sleep. For as we mentioned last night, God has so lowered himself. Since man cannot go to God, God comes to man. We like the night when we should like the day. And so he comes to the night and he sanctifies it and makes it brighter than the day. We like wine, and so he consecrates it. We like bread, and he consecrates that. All the things that we are too attached to, he comes and sanctifies. For even though we flee him, he comes to where we are. And he picks us up and puts us upon his own shoulders. He lowers himself to our way. He will convert ladies in the way of ladies. He will convert men in the way of men. He will convert sinners in the way of sinners. He comes to where we are, and he pulls us out from our pride, from our foolishness, and he begins to teach us ways, the ways of his divine love. And we need to try to learn these ways. Try to learn the ways of divine love. He has come into every place. We are most familiar with sin, so he visits us there at the crucifixion. And there he will capture us. A man who is a thief and a murderer, he will say to him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And if he said it to that thief and murderer, he can say it to us. A woman that is a woman of ill repute, he said he will make sure that she is the first one to see him after the resurrection. The apostle that is the most weak And the most faithless will be the first one that he speaks to, Peter. And so none of us can say that Christ is too far away. None of us can say that we have any excuses. Let us all turn to the divine love and ask him to teach us how to turn away from our life of sin and live the life of grace, and turn away from our errors and come back to the truth. And then he will bless us with a happy life, followed by an everlastingly happy eternity.